Yes, we are in the Advent season, and these next four Sundays I would like to bring you Advent-related messages. As I said earlier, Advent simply means to come. And so we remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as they say, the reason for the season is the remembering of Jesus Christ coming as a child, coming with a very intentional purpose, and that was to fulfill what God had given him, God the Father had given him, to be the Savior of the children, those that God the Father had given him. His name, Jesus, Yeshua, means Savior. And so even in his name is acknowledged the reason that he came. But it is another Advent that I'd like to speak to you about today. And it is the second Advent. If you have your Bibles, please join me in Matthew chapter 24. Or it will be on the projection in front of you, I'm sure. Jesus was asked a question when he told the disciples about the things that would have to happen during the end times or in the coming end times. And so the disciples asked a question: what will be the sign of your coming? Meaning simply, what will take place at your second coming? And Jesus had a very lengthy answer in chapters 24 and 25. I'll pick it up about halfway at verse 36. So answering the question, what will be the sign of your coming? Jesus answers, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore also you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you expect not. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now if you will join me in chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is the story of the second advent, again to come. This is the second coming. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Quite a bit different than his first coming. The first major thing we must understand about our Lord Jesus Christ's second coming is its starkness, is its drastic nature. You do not know the time, you do not know the hour, you do not know the day. It will happen that quickly, much unlike his first coming. His first coming was announced. We read the Christmas story. The angels announced to Mary and Joseph. The angels announced to the shepherds. And then they had the term of pregnancy to know that there was that Messiah. Mary knew, Joseph knew that Messiah was coming. That will not be the case. That will not be the case in his second coming. Just as he said in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were living their lives, meaning nothing unusual was happening. Nothing out of the ordinary was happening. Suddenly, the flood came. Suddenly, Jesus Christ will come. And it will be that quickly. It will be that stark. We will have no forewarning other than what we know right now. Jesus said, two men will be in the field. Suddenly, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women working, grinding, one will be taken, one will be left. Such is the coming of Jesus Christ and his second coming. I entitled the sermon, Watchful and Prepared. And see, this is Jesus' message here. Watchful and be prepared. He said, after this thing, he said, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. So Jesus is saying, be watchful. You know my truth is true. You know I am coming back, so be watchful. Stay awake. Yes, we live our lives, we conduct our lives daily, as we always do. But it should be lived with an awareness, an awakening, that in the next breath, Jesus Christ could be here. The next moment, we could see Jesus Christ breaking open that eastern sky, taking up his church that quick. Therefore, Jesus says, stay awake. Be watchful. Be watchful, for you do not know the hour of the second advent. To make his point even further, and this is the teaching for us, how do we stay awake? What is our watchfulness? How are we to be prepared? Well, Jesus uses several parables here. I've given you three to teach us, to help us in this line. He speaks of a homeowner and a thief. He says, if you knew the hour of the night that a thief was coming, would you not be prepared? If we heard on the news that in our community there is thieves that are working a certain community, would our awareness not heighten? Would we not be more watchful? Would we not be more protective? Yes, we would. And so Jesus is saying, just as you know there's a thief, you know there's a thief coming, be prepared, be watchful, be diligent. Show vigilance and prepare yourself, protecting yourself. Here it's just like Jesus Christ coming. You know he's coming. So prepare yourself. There's another side of this when Jesus uses the illustration of a thief. For the Christian, Jesus' second coming, while it will be fantastic, it should be very joyful. But for the non-believer, it'll be just as a thief breaking into a home. Very tragic. Horror. Fearful. That's the non-believer. So Jesus here is addressing the non-believer also when he says, I come back and it'll be like a thief in the night. And if you're not ready, it'll be as a thief. If you're not ready. If you're not watching. If you're not prepared. He goes on and says that, excuse me, I lost my place. He goes on and uses the example of a master and having servants. Now, this is speaking, since this is on the day of ordaining and installing ministry leaders, this next parable is addressing ministry leaders. So any one of us who lead ministries, teach Sunday school, lead committees, etc., here's an illustration for us. What should we be doing while we are watching, while we are ready? Jesus said the master would put a servant over the care of the other servants in the household, and the good servant would be the one who provides for those other servants during the time that Jesus Christ, the master, is away. So what this says to me is that I am to be dutiful. Watching, preparing, is not a passive event. We can't just sit down and say, okay, I'll be here when he gets here. I'm waiting. No. We are to work. We are to be at work. And so Jesus Christ says here, the master has taken a servant and put him over the other servants, leading, guiding, preparing their meals, etc. And the good servant is the one, when the master returns, he finds him doing exactly what he was called to do, what he was given to do. So that means we, ministry leaders, are to be at work while we watch. We are to help others being prepared and watching. We cannot sit here passively and go, but then what about the wicked servant? What about the servant? Is the illustration here, Jesus says, oh, the master's gone away. He's going to be gone for a long time. Don't worry about it. And that servant begins to abuse the other servant. That servant begins to take advantage of the other servant. Jesus said, woe to him, because he would be cut to pieces and thrown out with the hypocrites. What the phrase actually means is that he would be cut off from the people, tossed in with the hypocrites, hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what are we to do while we're waiting for this second advent? We are to lead this church. We are to lead the people. We are to help them be watchful, help them be prepared. That's what we do as ministry leaders, pastor, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers. If you mentor someone else, see that covers a lot of folks in this church, because we're involved in ministry at some aspect. The third illustration is a familiar one. We've heard it many times. It's the parable of the 10 virgins or 10 bridesmaids. Jesus uses the custom of the wedding feast, the wedding festivities. The practice here is the bride would be ready, would be at her parents' home, and she would be waiting for the bridegroom to come. And the custom was, is when the bridegroom announced that he was coming, the bridesmaids would go out and meet the bridegroom, the groom, bringing him into the home. It's a sign of honor when someone would go out and meet a king when he would come into the city. So the bridesmaids would go out and meet the groom and escort him into the home of where the wedding was to take place, where the bride was. So here he says, this illustration, there are 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 not-so-wise bridesmaids. Because see, the point of it here is, you know the groom is coming, you just don't know when. And see, the Middle Eastern folks are like our friends in Belize. Time is irrelevant. You know, you say you're going to start church at 11, it may be 11:15, it may be 11:20, it may be 12 o'clock. Drives me crazy. The Middle East is much like that too. The bridegroom will say, well, I'll be there this evening. This evening runs till 12, you know? So you don't know, but you have to be prepared. And if it happens at night, which most of the time it did in their custom, most of the time it took place at night, the bridesmaids would have to have lamps in order to see the way back to the home. So you need to have a lamp that burns well, plus you need to have the oil that lets you stay there all night if you had to. And so the bridesmaids had to be prepared, and they had to be prepared for the delay. So what is that teaching for us in the second coming of Jesus Christ? Be prepared. It's going to be a while. It could be the next moment, or it could be the next 1,000 years. So what do we do to be prepared? What do we do to stay prepared? We conduct ministry. We live our lives as we have been called to live, but we live our lives growing our sanctification, using the means of grace so that we stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the fervor of when I first became a Christian and the excitement and all that, it kind of waned after a while, until I felt that excitement again. And so there comes those times of waning and losing and gaining, etc. So we must stay vigilant again in the growing of our sanctification, of staying connected to the things of the ministry, staying connected to the things of God, and be prepared for the long haul. As I said, it may be the next moment. It may be the next 1,000 years. So we must be prepared. We must be prepared. We must be watchful. We must live our lives in the conduct of ministry, in the conduct of lives we have, but it must be in a very watchful, prepared state. Because you know Jesus Christ's words are true. I'm coming again. And when I come again, I'll take you to where I am, that you may be there also. So he's coming. And as I pray often, Lord Jesus, how about today? How about let's just do this today? So the second advent is a very critical, critical aspect of the Christian life. The first advent we remember? Absolutely. But that second one is when Jesus Christ brings to fulfillment all that the Father has given him. And see, here's the odd thing. The angels don't know that time. Jesus Christ doesn't know that time, which is a little odd, but he doesn't. Now, the foolish virgins here ask for the wise virgins to share their oil with them, and they would not. Do you find that kind of odd? Because aren't we as Christians supposed to help out those in need? When someone is in trouble, when someone is without, aren't we as Christians supposed to help? True. But see, there's some things you cannot share with a fellow Christian. There's some things you cannot share with another person. And I believe what we're pointing to here is their holiness. Their holiness. Their sanctified lives. That's on you and the Holy Spirit. You can't get holy for me. I can't get holy for you. I can teach, I can lead, I can encourage, I can pray, but that's on you. That's on you. And you can't share that with me. And so here, that oil in that lamp represents, many say, the working of the Spirit in their lives. The working of the Holy Spirit. Five had no working of the Holy Spirit in their life. Five did. I can't share that with you. A very particular point. Very particular point. And these five foolish virgins, after they had returned from purchasing their oil, heard those most dreadful words. I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't know more horrifying words could be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to a person. I never knew you. I never knew you. So we are called on to be watchful. We are called on to be prepared. We are called on to be dutifully involved in our service to each other, in the ministry, etc. Another point I'd like to make here before I put this away. Please notice that all of the characters mentioned in these parables, they all looked alike. They were all similar. Two men in a field working side by side, one taken, one left. Two women in a grinding wheel, same job, very similar, one taken, one left. 10 bridesmaids. You ladies who have been in weddings, you all wear the same dress. You fix your hair about the same if you can. And so you look, and that's the point, to look similar. Okay, these bridesmaids, all of them look similar. They were all friends of the bride. But here is the point. This is the church. These individuals here are representing the church. Look around this room. We all look alike. Relatively speaking, we're all alike. Relatively speaking, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women working, one will be taken, one will be left. The 10 bridesmaids, five taken, five left. What does that say about the church? I looked it up this morning, the latest statistics, and you can. Statistics, you can read whatever you want to in them. The latest statistics from Barna, who does a lot of research in this, says at least 45% of the gathered church on Sunday morning are actually born-again Christians. 45%. How many folks we have here today? I thought you were counting, weren't you, Harold? Excuse me? Where's Harvey? Do 45% of 138 right quick. 45% of 138. All right, let's say these 10 rows right here represent 45% of this church. What does that say about the rest of us? See, that's the point of the parable. Peter teaches, test to make sure your election is sure. Test to make sure that you know you're a believer. Just because you show up here on Sunday morning, just because you can carry a Bible, I don't get it. Hello, come in. Sobering news, sobering words. See, my fear is that when we get to heaven, we'll go, see, I want to see all of you there. Be watchful. Be expectant. The trouble is that it's hard to be expecting when you really don't know what to expect. But the thing we do expect is that Jesus' words are true. He's coming back. The question is, are you ready? The two men working in the field, one taken, one left. Which are you? Two women working at the grinding mill, one taken, one left. Which are you? Of the 10 bridesmaids or groomsmen. That's not laid on the women. Groomsmen. Five taken, five left. I pray that none of you ever hear the words that I know my heart and I profess Jesus Christ. I never knew you. I never knew you. Watchful. Be prepared. The second advent is coming. It is coming. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, it is wonderful news to know that your words are true, that you will one day come and take up your church. And so we rejoice in that. O come, Emmanuel, rejoice, rejoice. But, O Lord, prepare our hearts. Spirit, Holy Spirit, embolden us in our watchfulness. Lead us to have prepared lives, using the means of grace so that we grow in our sanctification, that we grow to be more and more like Christ, that our preparedness increases before that coming day. Bless these in your church here. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen and amen.